There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome back to the Prospect Podcast. I'm Ellen Halliday, Deputy Editor at Prospect. Today on the podcast, we're going to be talking about the story that's leading the issue of Prospect that's out today. It's a profile, in a way, of one of the men who is in the race to take over the Telegraph Group. Now, much has already been said about Paul Marshall, the right-wing media tycoon who owns Unheard and GB News, not least on our sister podcast, Media Confidential. But today, we're going to be talking about what might be driving Paul Marshall and why God has quite a lot to do with it. To talk about all of this, I'm joined by Andrew Greystone, who is an author, broadcaster and theologian. Andrew has, for the latest issue of Prospect, written all about Paul Marshall's relationship with the Church of England and what his faith tells us about his interest in one of the country's most powerful newspapers. So, Andrew, good to have you with us.
Thank you.
So tell me, what inspired you to start looking into Paul Marshall?
I've been looking into him for quite a long time, thinking, what is it that motivates this person who seems to want to exercise quite a lot of influence, not only in the media, as you've said, through Unheard and his ambitions for the Telegraph and the Spectator, but also he's been very influential in education. He set up a schools academy network called ARC. And I've also been aware that he has been investing heavily in a particular set of projects in the Church of England. And I was wondering what it was that drove Paul Marshall. So I decided to look into it a little bit more closely. And that's what I've done for the story in Prospect this month.
So, I mean, Paul Marshall is a very wealthy man. How did he make his money?
He made his money through, he's a hedge fund manager and a philanthropist. So he is a partner in Marshall Wace Investments, which is a large hedge fund. He's a very, very wealthy man. He's worth personally something like £800 million. But he's also an extremely generous man. He gives away something around about £5.5 million a month, according to the Sunday Times giving list. So he's justly called a philanthropist. That's a wonderful thing. But as with all philanthropists, you need to think, well, what exactly is he buying? Is this entirely open-handed giving? Is it paying it forward, as it were? Or is he, through that philanthropy, trying to exercise, as most philanthropists do, trying to exercise some kind of influence? And the more I looked at it, the more I thought, actually, if you connect together the things that Paul Marshall is putting his money into, yeah, then he is trying to exercise influence in very particular ways.
I mean, that question of where his money goes, one place that people might often look is politics, and indeed that isn't a relevant area for Paul Marshall, isn't it?
Yes, he's invested heavily. When he left university in the 80s, he wanted to go into politics. He, in fact, stood as an MP in Fulham for the Liberal Democrats. He was a Liberal Democrat back then. He worked for Charles Kennedy for a time as a researcher. Didn't make it into Westminster, but he was a co-editor with David Laws of a very influential publication for the Liberal Democrats called The Orange Book, which was a kind of appeal for liberalism to re-enter the Liberal Democrats. So he was very committed to that cause at that stage. But then he seemed to become disillusioned with the Lib Dems, and he left them in 2015, joined the Conservative Party, and was very committed to vote Leave. In fact, he donated £100,000 to vote Leave as part of the Brexit campaign. And since then, he's gone on to donate very large amounts of money, £500,000 at least, to the Conservative Party, and smaller amounts of money to, for instance, Michael Gove's campaign fund. He's close to Michael Gove.
So for this piece for Prospect, you talk a little bit about his political interests, but you also talk in depth about Marshall's faith. So what does Marshall believe, not in terms of politics, but in terms of, you know, that deeper faith-based vision of the world?
Well, we can't look into people's souls, so I can't tell you what he believes, but I can tell you where he associates and where he puts his money. He and his wife have been part of a church called Holy Trinity Brompton, which is a very unusual church in West London, and they've been there for something like 25 years now, and have been associated with a whole bunch of projects that have come out of that church. So it's perhaps worth saying a little bit about that church and what it is and what it does.
Yeah, tell us, what's a Brompton service like, and what's the kind of culture of the place?
Holy Trinity Brompton is extraordinary. It's absolutely unique in the Church of England. It's a smallish church off the Brompton Road. It has numerous services on a Sunday. You would have to get early because you'll have to get there early because you have to queue if you want to get a seat. It's a church that has immensely high production values in terms of its music, its presentation, its graphic design, that sort of thing. And it targets very specifically young professional people in the West End of London. And that HTB model, which is characterised, I suppose, by bright lights and electronic music, it's what we would call a charismatic church, a church where people believe that they hear directly from God and that God expresses his approval of them through giving them prosperity in terms of the growth of the church. And there is a sense that amongst the people in that network that God is, that this is their moment, that God is prospering them. It's the church that generated a thing called the Alpha Course, which is an evangelistic course that has gone all over the world now, and you often see advertised around the UK. It's a church that has a very simple, almost naive sort of gospel message. If you have a question, they already have an answer for it. And it's a church that is conservative, socially conservative in many ways. It's a church that's been incredibly influential. Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, was born just yards from Holy Trinity Brompton, was baptised there, went there when he was back from boarding school, met his wife, they married in Holy Trinity Brompton, and he remained a member there until he was in his mid-30s, at which point Holy Trinity Brompton sent him off for ordination in the Church of England. So he's very much an HTB man. Mm-hmm. Now, the church itself extends its influence well beyond its own parish in a variety of ways, in which Paul Marshall has been very actively involved.
So we have this wealthy, charismatic church that has great influence with powerful people within the church, and it also doesn't necessarily seem to have the same challenges that other parts of the church have, where there are issues around the training of ordinance and sort of, you know, bringing up new members as well. So tell us more about Holy Trinity Brompton's difference to the rest of the church, and I guess the message that it's spreading.
Well, it's almost certainly the wealthiest church in the parish church in the Church of England. It has a budget of something around £10 million a year, and it employs 118 people at the moment, which makes it as big or bigger than a number of dioceses around the country. It's as big, for instance, as the Diocese of Sheffield in itself. So it exercises a lot of clout. It has something like 46 staff at the moment. But they are, a lot of those are ordinands or trainees who are going through that church in order to be sent out into other churches, because it is a church that is trying to, in their language, plant other churches all around England in particular. So there's a project to multiply the HTB model in towns and cities across the UK.
People will be wondering what Paul Marshall has to do with this. He's just a man. He's a hedge fund manager. Yes, he goes to this church, but what does this have to do with him?
Well, he's a major donor to HTB's development projects. In particular, they run a charity, a separate charity, out of the same organisation with a number of the same trustees, called Revitalise. The charity is actually called the Church Revitalisation Trust. And the Church Revitalisation Trust was founded substantially with Paul Marshall's money in order to replicate the Holy Trinity Brompton model in other towns and cities around the country. And they have done that extremely successfully. They're planting up to 20, 25 new churches in other places every year. And some of these people who they're bringing on as ordinands in the Church of England are being trained up specifically to run those churches, churches after that model around the country. For example, just down the road from me in Manchester, they've just planted a city centre church, which is called Fabric. I mean, choosing names for churches is an interesting quality. The churches in East London are called Saint. But in Manchester, there's a church called Fabric, and they've invested a huge amount of money into that project, something like 5 million. The building that they've bought for it had an asking price of £2.25 million. Now, it's in Ardwick, which is one of the poorest parts of Manchester, and Manchester Diocese of the Church of England is one of the poorer dioceses. So if you're the Bishop of Manchester or one of the church leaders in Manchester, and somebody comes along and says, would you like us to invest a vast amount of money into your region and a vast amount of energy and to feed you with some new young leaders who we've trained up, it's very difficult for the rest of the church to resist that. And that's happening in towns and cities all over the country.
I mean, Andrew, just to play devil's advocate slightly, we know from sort of census data that there are fewer and fewer people, I think, who are, you know, engaged in the church in their day-to-day life. So in a sense, why does this story matter for modern Britain, whether people are people of faith or not?
It matters because faith matters. People's religion is not going to decide the next election, but it is going to influence it. It's going to have a part to play in it. And it matters because where faith overlaps with politics, we need to be very aware of what is motivating people. So if the same person is investing heavily in planting churches and in running schools and in buying media outlets, I think we need to at least be aware of what their motivation is. Now, Paul Marshall's a very generous man. Who would criticise somebody who is that generous? And that comes out of his theology, his philosophy, if you like, of philanthropy, which is that if you find yourself with a lot of wealth or a lot of influence, you haven't earned it in your own right. You have been given that by God, and you have been given that by God to do good with, to do certain things with. There's a verse in Luke's gospel that says, from those to whom much has been given, much will be required. And that's very much Paul Marshall's philosophy. But we just need to be aware of what kind of influence is being exercised.
So, and we've talked a bit about the culture of Holy Trinity Brompton, but as you say, we can't see into Paul Marshall's head or his soul. So how do we know that that's what he... that's how he'll view philanthropy? How do we come to that judgment, that opinion?
He's spoken about his philosophy of philanthropy quite readily, not least at the Marshall Institute, which is an institute of philanthropy that he set up. And he said very explicitly, faith is a driver of philanthropy. If you don't have faith, what are you doing with your... with your money? He's quite explicit about that. But as it happens, the philanthropy that he does through the church, through the schools network, overlaps with activities, investments that are, you couldn't describe as philanthropic, like buying a newspaper. And there is a common thread of values running through them. So it's important for us to understand what those values are.
After the break, we'll talk more about Marshall, his faith, and his mission to reshape Britain. But first, I'd like to tell you about the upgraded digital experience you can enjoy with the new Prospect app. Stay informed and engaged with our independent journalism at your fingertips. Read or listen anywhere, at any time. The app not only gives you access to our articles, but also includes audio narration plus podcasts like the one you're listening to right now. Subscribe to Prospect and get instant access to the new app, available on iOS and Android.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
And I mean, you said a moment ago that faith won't decide the next election, but it will influence how some people vote. Can you tell me a bit more about what you mean by that as well?
We know from research from the British Election Survey that people of faith are more likely to vote than people with no faith, and we know some things about the ways people of faith vote as well. People in the Church of England are more, or people who identify as Church of England, are more likely to vote Conservative, although rather ironically, people who are in leadership in the Church of England are more likely to vote Labour. I think Paul Marshall is not about trying to buy votes. He's trying to shift the culture. And his work with the Church of England, or particular sectors of the Church of England, not the whole church, but particular sectors, is trying to shift the culture there, just as his investment in GB News or in ARC schools is trying to shift the culture. Mm-hmm. And he would see it, I think, that he has been given the influence that he has and the money that he has in order to use it for what he would understand as God's will. Mm-hmm. That's a powerful tool.
So just to clarify, I guess, about what that culture looks like, that he, the goal that he's trying to get to, the sort of new culture, what's the vision of a Britain in the future that Paul Marshall might hope to see?
It's a vision of liberalism, of freedom, of the sovereignty of the individual. It's a vision that very closely aligns with the values of an organisation like GB News. Mm-hmm. And that's why he is allied to a number of the people who are familiar to us from GB News. Probably the philosopher in chief of the Paul Marshall Project is Michael Gove. Paul Marshall's had a very close relationship with Michael Gove over the years, has contributed to Gove's leadership campaign financially, and contributed to a number of other Michael Gove projects. For instance, back when Michael Gove was Education Secretary, he had this plan to place a copy of the King James Bible into every state school in the land, which was going to cost £380,000. And Michael Gove committed to this and then went to David Cameron and asked for the money. And Cameron said, no, they couldn't use the money. So Paul Marshall was one of those who bailed out Michael Gove's plan with some finance. And Michael Gove also used to speak very enthusiastically when he was an Education Secretary about ARC schools, and also gave a speech at the opening of Paul Marshall's latest project, which is the Alliance for Responsible Citizenship, ARC, the second ARC that Paul Marshall has launched.
Also, obviously, a biblical image.
I think it's no coincidence. And Paul Marshall does like to lean on biblical images. One of the things that got me really interested in this was that a few months ago, Paul Marshall closed down, locked off his Twitter feed and renamed his Twitter feed. And the name that he gave it was Areopagus123. Now, the word Areopagus is a code word for evangelical Christians. Every evangelical Christian with an influence, with a missionary interest, knows the word Areopagus. It comes from the book of Acts, chapter 17, where St. Paul in Athens addresses the pagan philosophers at their meeting place, which was called the Areopagus. It was the speaker's corner of Athens. And the thrust of that Bible passage and the thrust of the sermons that evangelicals preach about it is to say the job of Christians like Paul, in this case St. Paul, their job is to go out and tell the pagan philosophers the truth about the real and living God. So I think it's no coincidence that Paul Marshall chose Areopagus as his new Twitter handle.
And of course, that Twitter account, although not accessible to most of us now, has been much covered, not least by the news agents and Hope Not Hate, which is the anti-racism campaign group, because Paul Marshall's Twitter account gave some insights, perhaps, into themes that he's interested in, issues that he is interested in, and he liked and retweeted racist content on that platform. So there's an insight there into something that's preoccupying Paul Marshall.
Yes, I mean, he liked or retweeted posts saying things like this. There was one that said, there's never been a country that remained peaceful with a sizable Islamic presence. And there was another one that said that Muhammad was, quotes, one of the worst men to ever live. Now, Paul Marshall, subsequent to Hope Not Hate and the news agents identifying those, has said that all he was trying to do was to bookmark them for future reference. So he was just showing interest in them rather than approving of them, which you might say is fair enough. Although he did write a post of his own in response to an American anti-Muslim influencer called Amy Meck, in which he said, or she was saying, that French Christians had surrendered to Islam. And Paul Marshall intriguingly said, the Christian church, brackets all denominations, close brackets, also has its useful idiots. Now, I'm very intrigued as to what Paul Marshall might mean and who are the useful idiots in the Christian church that he's referring to.
So, I mean, this news story, when it broke with the news agents and Hope Not Hate, and, you know, we'd definitely encourage listeners to go and read that report in full, because it's really interesting. Yes. That kind of brought new scrutiny onto this Marshall bid to own and take over the Telegraph Media Group. And people kind of began asking questions about what an owner of such a powerful newspaper could and should look like. Of course, Marshall's already involved in the media through through GB News and Unheard, which is a much newer kind of digital organisation. So, I mean, when did Marshall decide to pursue influence, not just in schools, in the church, but also in UK media brands?
Well, he launched Unheard in 2017, which was actually the same year that he launched the Church Transformation Trust. But then in 2021, he was a very early investor in GB News. He put in £10 million to the launch of GB News. And then you'll remember that Andrew Neil, who was the chair of GB News, jumped ship the following year, fairly soon after the channel had started broadcasting. And Paul Marshall stepped in to be interim chair mm-hmm. at GB News. And then shortly after that, began to invest much more heavily until he now is has a controlling influence, which means a shareholding of between 25% and 50% percent.
Comparisons have been drawn between GB News and more kind of American media brands. Do you think that that comparison is fair?
Well, the UK media are very different from the American media, but there is something of a vacuum, a leadership vacuum, an influence vacuum developing on the right in the media in the UK, particularly with Rupert Murdoch at an advanced state of years. So, I mean, it would be speculation to think that Paul Marshall might want to have that kind of influence that someone like Murdoch has in the media. Certainly, if Paul Marshall, by the end of this year, is the owner or even the senior investor in Unheard and The Spectator and The Telegraph and GB News, he will be a major influence in the media on the right, and probably the kingmaker for the Conservative Party, which is very dependent on those outlets.
Do you think Marshall will be successful in his bid to take over The Telegraph and The Spectator?
I've no idea, but the field has become a little bit clearer for him more recently with the government's suggestion that that they would prefer a UK-based bidder for The Telegraph and The Spectator. And clearly there's an interest for the Conservative Party in having a friend in that position.
I mean, lots of people will say, kind of reflecting on this conversation that we've had today, that it shouldn't be a problem for somebody, a person of faith, to have great influence. And indeed, Paul Marshall's personal beliefs could have little bearing on his right to own this newspaper or that magazine. So why overall does it matter, this situation that we're in, where we have a powerful man who has been extremely generous in his philanthropy across different sectors of society, in the church, in education, is now, as we say, potentially the front runner to take over a very powerful newspaper? Why are we talking about his faith at all, and why should people perhaps look more into what Paul Marshall believes and seek to understand it?
Anybody who owns a media organisation of any sort is going to come with their own package of beliefs, possibly faith, possibly no faith, possibly political leanings. Nobody stands nowhere. Two things matter particularly. One is when the amount of influence around a particular individual or a particular belief becomes, has a momentum, when there's a gathering of influence around one particular individual or one particular belief, then we need to be a little bit kind of wary of the diversity that is part actually of that kind of liberalism that he theoretically owns. And the second thing is, and the kind of major guardian against that accumulation of influence is that we understand what somebody believes and where they're coming from. So that, in a sense, is what this particular article is trying to do. Nobody says that Paul Marshall is a bad man for giving away £5 million a month. We just need to understand what kind of influence that might be buying.
Well, Andrew, thank you so much for talking us through a great deal of that. And I would, of course, encourage everybody listening to head to our website or to their local shop and pick up a copy of Prospect, because they can read in great detail this piece that you've written for us about who Paul Marshall is, what he believes, and the influence that he has in the Church of England and in modern Britain today. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
That's all for now. Thanks so much to Andrew for joining us, and thanks to our listeners at home for tuning in. If you enjoyed this podcast, then head to our website at prospectmagazine.co.uk or our app, where you can read Andrew's piece, as well as an account of GB News by Gavin Esler and all of our latest reporting, analysis and cultural criticism. That's all for today, though, so thanks for joining, and we'll see you all next time.